Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah. Woo. Let's go.
Y'all need to sit back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Chef, Chef. Sports City, Chef, Chef. Yeah. Cabby. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.
Hello, and welcome to Sports City Chefs. It's Memorial Day. I just want to say respect and all that first. I don't know why we don't celebrate it in the UK the same as they celebrate out there, but you know, it is what it is. Not going to go into war too much, but respecting the warriors and all those that left before us. I'm here with my friend James Greenwood. Been on a walk about today up the Adirondack Mountains up in north, upstate New York. How are you feeling, my friend?
Sore, but the mountain treated me well today, so I'm ready to talk a little bit of AFC South action today.
Yeah, getting into the AFC South is four teams, right, that we know that polar opposites now with the Texans the way it is, then Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Indianapolis. Start with Indianapolis, I think. I think that's the way to go. It's like
yeah,
the changes
sure.
They've made.
Yeah, like it all starts with the retirement of Philip Rivers at the beginning of the offseason. That was kind of the largest move that started everything right off at the beginning. They made the trade for I believe a third round pick in this year and a second round pick that can become a first round pick next year with the Philadelphia Eagles to acquire Carson Wentz. Obviously the connection between Wentz and Frank Reich is kind of like the identifying factor to this. Carson Wentz's MVP seasons were kind of like focused around Frank Reich and his offense. So it seems like a match made in heaven for this reclamation project, which is the career of Carson Wentz, who did not do very well in the past couple of years. Aside from that, they also had the retirement of Anthony Costanzo, the long-term left tackle, so they needed to figure that out. They were able to sign Eric Fisher, the left tackle for the formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs for a long time. But the question is whether or not he's going to be ready week one, or if Sam Tavy is going to have to come in and play that left tackle spot. That could cost them a game or two early on, in my opinion. Justin Houston is not retired yet, but he's going to be soon. So finding a defensive end of the future was another big thing that they needed to do while their team is so strong top to bottom. So this is where they have to start looking for, start looking towards the future to continue to retool as opposed to hitting up a rebuild. Getting Quiddy Pay in the draft in round one was pretty big there as well.
Yeah, sure. Sorry, go on.
No. Go ahead, take it.
Yeah, no, it's like just looking at the job Chris Ballard has done over the last few years. It's hard for me just not to put full trust into him. I just trust this team so much. They're loaded from top to bottom. I think they were looking at Darashaw in the draft. I think Quiddy Pay just ended up there, but I think Darashaw would have been an option. But then just to pick Eric Fisher up, I thought was genius. Very similar to Anthony Costanzo, technically. And it's just like, just put it in a piece. I'm going to go for the, just to give you some food for thought, I'm going to go for the coaching staff, right? So you've got Frank Reich, who's an ex-quarterback. He's the head coach. Offensive coordinator, Marcus Brady, former quarterback. Quarterback's coach, Scott Milanovic, former quarterback. And then you've got another two coaches on that offense in Jared Johnson, who's an ex-quarterback. And then, you know, so they just like Mike Groh as well, the wide receivers coach, was a former quarterback. And it's like, well, Frank Reich just knows that quarterbacks read playbooks. They understand offenses. And I think that's great for Carson Wentz. I think that's going to be unbelievable for him. I think that's going to be so helpful. I love Jonathan Taylor and Naheem Hines as a double act. Bring back Marlon Mack. That's going to be insane. Quentin Nelson, probably the best guard in football. And I think, you know, they're going to have a running game. And it's going to make life so much easier for Carson Wentz. Defensively, Matt Eberflus, defensive coordinator. I honestly, James, I think I was telling you last year, we've talked about it, and I was saying he needs to be a head coach in the league. He's an emotional leader, but unfortunately, he was overlooked all through the hiring process. I still don't understand how he didn't land a job, but it's great for the Colts. I mean, they bring in a strong team back again. I mean, like you said, yeah, there's a few changes. Eric Fisher is a huge change for them, but he's like, you know, he's just come in from a team that's just won the Super Bowl. No, he's been injured and stuff, but he's that caliber of player. He can get it done. You know, it's like true professional, number one overall pick. He's like, you know, just slot him in. And you're next to Quentin Nelson. And then you got Ryan Kelly inside, and then Braden Smith on the other side. They just loaded. I mean, it's such a talented roster. I really think they can do some damage this year, you know. But just a great front office and a great roster.
But the big thing, the first thing falls on Carson Wentz. I wouldn't call it a transition because it's a system that he knows and has known before. But is Wentz like done? Is he shot, or is this the reclamation project that they expect it to be? That's question one. And the other question, I still think that they really needed to make improvements at the wide receiver position. T.Y. Hilton ended up getting re-signed by them for one additional year. They're just retooling that wide receiver core that was okay last year, and maybe another year with these young players will obviously T.Y. Hilton is not a young player, but all the other young players on this roster, is that going to be enough at the wide receiver position that's becoming more of a highly valued position as getting open quickly allows the quarterbacks to get the ball out of their hand quickly and not have a need for the strength at the offensive line positions that a lot of teams tend to dump money into these days. So that's the real question when it comes to the Colts is, when we talk about that secondary, the secondary, Xavier Rhodes returned from free agency. That was a no-brainer re-signing. And they did re-sign the vast majority of their free agents. Like, I think the only two guys they lost was, like, Jacoby Brissett went to the Dolphins, and Danico Autry might have gone somewhere.
Yeah, he's
gone somewhere. I want to say Tennessee, but I'm not sure. They re-signed all the rest of their players, which means that they're going to likely improve over the next year if Wentz is that guy. If not, then we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, it was a great question on Wentz, because, you know, you look at him in Philadelphia, Jordan Mailata, who was probably one of the best stories, or hidden stories in the NFL over last year, come from rugby, to be protecting Carson Wentz blindside last year. And you look at the rest of the line, he was decimated. He did, like, he had a first from Jalen Reagor, first from pick play and receiver. It was like that Greg Ward. No, they were his best options last year. It's like he didn't have much there, and I don't think the relationship was good with the coach. Like, he's class enough to say it was okay, you know? Carson Wentz will say, yeah, me and Doug Peterson, we got on well. But it just didn't look that way. Now he's in Indy. It's time. I think he's going to be okay. I think he's going to eat this up. And I just you know, just tell by the way people are. I think he's got the demeanor as well to turn around. I think they're going to be fine. Yeah, Malik Hooker is another one. He's choosing between Dallas and Miami at the moment, apparently. So he's out. He hasn't gone yet, but he's gone. T.Y. Hilton coming back, I think, is going to be big. And then, you know, James is like guys like Paris Campbell, who've been injured as well, at receiver. Michael Pittman Jr., you know, decent rookie year, done well at the end last year. Zach Prasco. It's like, these guys need to step up and show that they can be top receivers in this league. And I think that running game is just going to help it so much. I think that's such a valuable asset to theirs. Probably the best running guard of the decade or the next decade. He's just outstanding, Quentin Nelson. And then a guy like Jonathan Taylor, you know, who's as fast as anybody in the open field and just comes from Wisconsin. That's all he does is pick up yards. So it's like, I'm very high on the Colts. I think they got this division. It's going to be good between them and Tennessee, but I think it's just theirs to lose.
Yeah, like this division is not particularly strong in my opinion. So I think the Colts have another year to not
People's
get
in
not,
it.
Tennessee's in it, and who else? Jacksonville, who's getting better, is going to be significantly better, but they're not. They're not. I don't believe they're a contender. We'll talk about it a little bit later, but I don't think they're ready to contend this year. And obviously, the Houston Texans are a dumpster fire. But the call-in number is, just for those who do want to call in and chat with us, 425-292-4444. 929-477-2759 is the call-in number for those who want to talk a little AFC South. Yeah.
Get some of those Connecticut boys in and see what they got to say about it. It's always interesting to have put those guys in. Just looking at the Colts tight ends, James, that's why I wanted to go with you. Mo Ali Cox, Jack Doyle, just those two. Do you think they are enough? Jordan Thomas is there, but that's about it. They got Togger, who's a blocker. Do you think that's enough, or do you think they need a little bit of an win maybe? And do you also think, just a question, what difference Julio Jones would make if he went there?
Julio Jones would be a real interesting move. They don't have a second round pick this year, so they would have to. They don't know if they have a second round pick, so they can't trade that second round pick until Carson Wentz makes that accelerator to make it a first round pick. So
yeah.
They would have to, and they can't trade the first round pick. So it's not really in the cards for them to get Julio Jones unless they're willing to trade him for a third round pick. If they are, then at that point, the Colts have the cap space to make that work. But Julio Jones is a great guy to sign for 1 year. He is not a great guy to sign for 5 years or 3 years, I believe, is what the remainder of his contract is looking like. That is kind of the problem with that. As far as Mo Alley Cox and Jack Doyle, any fantasy football player worth their salt will tell you right now that the tight end position is bad. TJ Hawkinson is a Pro Bowl tight end right now, and he did not play particularly well last year. So I think that with that in mind, Mo Alley Cox and Jack Doyle are adequate, are, you know, median level tight ends. You know, you could probably say that there are tight ends better than those two, but there are definitely ones that are worse than those two. Honestly, they are enough. They're fine. If there was an improvement available, it wouldn't be hard, but I'm not feeling like that's going to be a major detriment to them.
Yeah, my only thing is, I agree with what you're saying, but it's like, what they do in a run game, I think, is great. But to me, Jack Doyle is so valuable for, you know, as a personality and a captain on that team. I think he's really earned his stripes as well. So it's just toughness, playing for injury and playing injured as well. I think he's invaluable to them. I think he's a massive part of the team. But, you know, there's no Zach Ertz, there's no Travis Kelce. I was hoping if they'd sign Zach Ertz as well, you know, because Dallas Goedert's in Philly, if they could make a move for Zach Ertz as well as Carson, I thought that might have been on the cards. But, they need somebody a bit more dynamic, I think, in the passing game. But, like, you can't really knock them for what they do on the ground. I mean, it's perfect now they're running game for me. It's like, and then it's just a matter of getting a bit more dynamic at the tight end position. But like you said, I think Julio Jones is looking at the trade and also a contract. So that's turned a few teams off already. I think today I'm hearing somebody's out on him. I think the Rams might have been out. So, yeah. Interesting times. But it is what it is. Just looking through their draft. They did draft a tight end, Kylan Granson, out of SMU with the 127th pick. So they got some people in. They went defensive end, the first two picks. Odiengbo and out of Vanderbilt and Quitty Pay, obviously. So look for one of those two to make
Odiengbo is a defensive tackle, Vanderbilt. Quitty Pay actually reminds me a lot of Brandon Graham when he was coming out, also from Michigan. Will he be as good? Who knows? But I think that that stylistically, I think I really like Quitty Pay, I think he's going to start seeing rotations early on as a pass rushing defensive end, and will probably take over Justin Houston before too long. I'm not feeling Kylan Granson, the tight end from SMU. I don't really buy him as the answer to the woes at the tight end position for the Indianapolis Colts. I'm just saying.
No, you don't know, because he's 127th pick. So, I mean, he's just a body right now, but I'm just saying, like, it's just somebody they put on their roster, is all I'm saying, the young talent. But yeah, we look at, like, the defensive ends, Benogu, you know, Al Mohamed, he's a decent one. He can play. But, like, you know, Odiengbo, he's 6'6", 276, so he probably looked to play that Darnell Autry position, you know, come in and fill in for him. They do like to move their ends into tackles. Kamiko Touré is another one. They got some talent, and then Buckner, obviously, on our defensive front. Grover Stewart is outstanding last year. Rob Windsor is there from a year ago. Rookie last year, really like him. And then Tyquan Lewis then just plays DTD, same size as Odiengbo. So look for him, just fill our role, I think. And it's that defensive front is there for him. Will Fries was the late round pick of theirs, out of Penn State. Not a bad player. I didn't expect him to drop so low, so that could be interesting. But then Danny Pinter from last year as well, somebody I got to mention. He really pushed for a spot last year. And Glowinski at right guard. And Danny Pinter was going out there, so but Glowinski's really underrated. You know, he's not Quentin Nelson, nobody is, but he's really underrated. But I honestly think the bloodline of this defense and how well it goes, Darius Leonard. I'm looking for him to be defensive player of the year maybe this year. He's due. I mean, he's around the ball all the time. He makes some massive plays. I really think he can be there or thereabouts this year. With Kenny Moore in the slot as well, also outstanding. So it's a great defense, really good defense, really good offense, well balanced. Carson Wentz I don't think you can ask for more than what he's got there. I honestly don't think you can ask for more. You know, the talent there is around him. He'll be protected. It's time to shine for him now, really, really all the questions pointing towards him. And I think they're gonna be okay.
All right. I do believe it. We should probably move on probably to the Tennessee Titans now. But just for the just for the record, Julio Jones is locked up till 2023. So he wouldn't really be looking for a new contract. But how exactly long is he going to be productive is my question. Like, yeah, there are just to go back to the conversation just for a brief second. Julio Jones has 3 years left of the contract, and he's already in his early 30s. He'll be, I believe, 34 or 35 when that contract is up. So you're going to be paying him well after his prime. So that's why I'm telling other teams, or that's why, I mean, I'm not telling anybody this, but I'm prognosticating that you probably don't want to trade for Julio Jones. That's just my opinion on that. But let's move on to the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans as a team lost a couple of key free agents. They lost Jadeveon Clowney. They lost Adoree Jackson, which they both of whom they were able to replace. They lost Desmond King, who ended up going to Houston Texans. I'm sorry. They lost Jonnu Smith. Probably, oddly enough, one of the better tight ends in the league last year. Probably at least in the top 10, ended up signing with the Patriots along with Hunter Henry. So they did end up losing quite, and also Malcolm Butler, who's, you know, a little older for wear, but ended up moving to the Arizona Cardinals. As far as that point. So as far as guys they signed Bud Dupree to take over for Jadeveon Clowney. We'll see how that goes. Kevin Johnson came over from the Browns, and Janoris Jenkins came over from the Saints. Jenkins is on the back foot of his career as well, so I wouldn't expect him to be a long-term solution to the problem. I think the long-term solution to their problems at the cornerback position are probably coming at the coming from the draft, where they were able to get Caleb Farley, who, if the injury concerns work out, is going to turn into one of the proverbial steals of the first round, who is really on the same level of J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain as a player, but the health issues have really knocked him down a peg or two. And then also getting Elijah Molden at pick 100, I think could easily fill in that Desmond King role to a T very, very well. So I like those two replacements for guys that they lost in free agency. other than that, I like Dylan Randon's the offensive tackle from Notre Dame as a second round pick because of how the value was going for left tackles in this year's draft. They kind of got pushed up the board a little bit. Would I have like placed him as a second round pick? No, but as the players were falling off the board, it turned out to be not that bad to have them do so. You know what I mean? One guy I do want to talk about is Rashad Weaver. Rashad Weaver was one of my guys that I was pounding the table for back when we were doing our draft preview special. Rashad Weaver has the frame to build, to hit the weight room and build into an amazing athlete, but he's already good at his hand positioning. He does have great technique as a defensive end. So there is real potential that Rashad Weaver ends up being a guy who can start for the Tennessee Titans in the future. Arguably one of my bigger steals in the draft. And when we look at value that they received out of this draft class, I really liked the shots that they took when it comes to the draft. Like, don't get me wrong, there's a huge potential for all of these guys to fall out and just not be that good, but they have incredibly high ceilings. Caleb Farley, incredibly high ceiling, could be the best defensive back in this draft. Elijah Molden is a do everything cornerback that could at least start at probably nickelback for the Tennessee Titans, probably as early as year one. And then Rashad Weaver is a guy I just talked about. So what were your thoughts about the Titans and what they did?
Yeah, well, that's what I noticed first off was I know you was banging the table for Rashad Weaver. I was banging the table for Elijah Molden. I had Elijah Molden as like a first round pick, and I know he went top 100, but I know he won 100, but I think he's going to be a fantastic player. Just what you said in that nickel position. I mean, he is a prototype nickel corner. The way the game is, he's going to be that important for them. His value should have been higher, but he got taken where he's taken. He's perfect for that role to replace King, like you said. I think that's a great analogy. But like Caleb Farley, it's a disastrous yard. Yes, can he get over it? Look, this is where out Tennessee are gunslingers. They are actual gamblers. They took Isaiah Wilson last year. I mean, he didn't play it down. I mean, what a disappointment. That's the draft, you know. And he had an unceremonious departure. He was, you know, he come in from Alabama. He had it all there for him, and then he just fails to just get his head together and, you know, come back and you know, get in shape to come back at the end of the season. Okay, you made a mistake at the start of the season. Don't let that define your career. But yes, he did. And, you know, it's a complete crapshoot. That's how Mike Vrabel must be looking at it. You know, you look at their front office, right? It's like they got to be looking at it that way. It's no way they picked a lot of these players thinking, okay, they're definitely going to start for us because they just ain't. I mean, nobody's guaranteed. Even Rashad Weaver, I mean, he's had weight problems, but when he gets it together, he's a fantastic player. Dylan Raidens, when he gets North Dakota State, they're going to put him in to try and be Jack Conklin, to try and fill out that role that the guy was supposed to fill last year, but didn't. So, you know, it's a bit of a gamble, but they're good players. You know, the upside is great for them. I love the coaching staff as well. When Mike Vrabel's got his guys there now, Shane Bowen, the defensive coordinator. Arthur Smith is in Atlanta. So, you know, you bring in Todd Downing as an offensive coordinator. You know, there's so many names on that. You know, Jim Haslett's on that defense, coaching linebackers. So Jim Schwartz is back there as well. Jim Schwartz, remember Jim Schwartz in Tennessee? And the Jeff Fisher, what a defensive coordinator he was there. And he's welcome back there now after his time in Philly. I thought that's great. As an assistant, you know, on a senior defensive assistant. But great names, great people back in the building, and I think they're going to bring a tough brand. I know you're not a big Bud Dupree guy, but I am. I think Bud Dupree's outstanding, and I think he's going to do what Jadeveon Clowney, you know, just really struggle to do, which is stay healthy, and he's going to do that, and he's going to be productive, I think. I think they're going to be fine. I think defensively they're going to be great, and it's going to be – I just can't wait until they play the Colts. Those games are going to be electric again this year. You know, they just – it's just become such a good – such a good fixture. Really looking forward to it again.
Yeah, and that's definitely a good point. I don't dislike Bud Dupree. I question there's a lot of questions of I have involving him, but it's I'm not saying he can't work out there or that he won't work out. It's it's much different than that. But anything else you want to add about the Titans before we move on?
No. Well, Rob Moore is there as a wide receiver coach. I like looking at the coaches and how they go about it. Like Rob Moore, remember the Arizona Cardinals, and they based like Rod Tidwell from Jerry Maguire. Remember the character? Cuba Gooding Jr. character. He's there as a receivers coach. But yeah, just, you know, spend a time in Nashville. I know that city's in need of a winner again. And see how it goes. It's like they deserve it. They definitely deserve a winning team because they love that franchise. And but just that fixture, just can't wait to see that fixture.
So how about we move on to the Jacksonville Jaguars? I'll let you take lead on that.
Well, only one name I need to say, right? I mean, it's Tim Tebow. That's it.
Don't
I need to mention
to
anybody else. I don't know if you've seen the videos of him already in training. How can anybody cover him? He's uncoverable. Have you seen the moves? No, I honestly, it's interesting, right? I mean, look, this Shad Khan, he's a businessman, business first and foremost. He let go of everybody pretty much last year. They had no chance of winning the game last year with the roster they had. The coaches they had, I think he just sabotaged the old team, right, for them to get Trevor Lawrence. You're never going to admit to that, but that's what he did last year. And it worked out. He got Trevor Lawrence now for the next 10 years, in the same way Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck have been in Indianapolis. He knows how valuable that is. He knows what that can do for a franchise and a business. So his plan has worked out fine. Now he's got Urban Meyer to come in from college, which is the perfect timing for that, because I think it's like college is becoming so much a pro game now. So this is a perfect time for Nick Saban. Like, I knew he failed with the Dolphins years ago. But I think now it'd be different. I think Urban Meyer coming there is a great move for them. I think he's going to be fine. Last night they was doing something. There was a wrestling thing going on in the stadium, right? And they ended up Urban Meyer's office. Charlie Strong was there just giving him a laptop to slam over somebody's head. I'm thinking, they send the Jacksonville Jaguars, I know. They when they're on a wrestling, they're on the WWE channel. But, so Charlie Strong, Darryl Bevel's there. You know, they got the names. Again, Joe Cullen on defense in from Detroit. So this, like, Bob Sutton's there. The coaching staff's leveled out to what Urban Meyer wants. Brian Schottenheimer is going to be with Trevor Lawrence, which I think is great, because what he done with Mark Sanchez, he understands how to deal with rookie quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence lost two games in college. He's going to lose a lot more games in the NFL, right? Let's be honest. And I think he's got a perfect head and shoulders to deal with that. Now, George Warhol, another great coach, is offensive line coach. I think they've got the base of an offensive line there for him already. I love LaVisca Chenault. I love a lot of players he's got as weapons. And I think, you know, Travis Etienne going there as well from Clemson. I think that was a great move, by Urban Meyer to bring him in as well. I just think that's going to help Trevor Lawrence so much. Familiarity and all that is so important. So, you know, I'm going to let you get into the players a little bit more. Put down on Ross a little bit more, because I know, you know, you'd have to say something as well. But
I'm going to start with your take on the Travis Etienne move. I thought that was a terrible move. You have a first round pick, top 25 pick. You have James Robinson on the roster, who did perfectly fine taking the brunt of the carries. In Jacksonville last year, he was their one shining star, and they draft Travis Etienne at pick 25. Why?
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. There were left tackles on the board. They only have Cam Robinson for one more year on a franchise contract. And was he really even worth a franchise contract? That's a big question that I have. They're paying the guy top five money for one year. It's wrong to me. It's very wrong to me. Christian Barmore was still available at 25. That would have been a great pick for them to grab. I know they grabbed Tyson Alualu in free agency, but was that really? I don't think so. And every safety at that point was still on the board too. So, or I believe almost every safety but one was available at 25, which they could have had their pick there as well. Although they did do a pretty good job getting Andre Sisco in round four. Round four, pick one. I think they did fine there. So I'm not going to beat them up for not picking a safety. They signed Shaq Griffin to a contract, which will really help out, with talent across from CJ Henderson, which has been that number two cornerback's been kind of beaten up time and time again. It just wasn't very good, and the defense really suffered because of it. So signing veteran Shaq Griffin to the cornerback position, I think, was very big as well. This is kind of where things. Oh, they also signed Marvin Jones as another wide receiver, which I like Marvin Jones as a player. He's a good player, especially as like a number two wideout kind of guy. But did they really need him? They have DJ Chark. They have Laviska Shenault. Do they need Marvin Jones? I don't know. I guess it really depends on how they plan on using it. Obviously, the Tim Tebow signing is whatever. I'm not even gonna talk about that. What's gonna happen is Tim Tebow is going to. They're gonna do some gadget trick play where Tim Tebow is going to run 5 yards backwards. And then they're going to toss it to him on the seam. And then they're going to do like a Philly special kind of deal once or twice a year. And that's going to just get everybody all hyped up. And that's basically about it for that. Like,
what if the first touchdown is Tebow to Trevor Lawrence? What would you think the internet would react to that?
Just please no. Please no. Don't do this again. So other than that, like, it's hard. It's hard because you're the Jaguars and you are consistently bad, so it's hard to attract better-level talent in spite of the fact that you have so much money in cap space. But you're either going to have to overpay for that talent, or you're going to have to build through the draft. And that's what it looks like they're trying to do, but there are just some things that I don't understand why they made these picks. Jordan Smith in round, I know it's a round six pick, but why? there were better guys on the board.
I did like the Walker Little pick. I did like that. I thought he would have been a first round pick a couple of years ago. He can probably go in and contend.
And this
if he's
Walker Little's the same is kind of the same feel. Offensive tackles are pushed up the board. For some reason, nobody likes Stone Forsythe. He got to the sixth round and didn't get bumped up at all. But every other tackle got bumped up the board, so they just grabbed the next one in line. Jay Tufalele, and I butchered that name. I know I did. But if you can correct me, please feel do so. Was a really good pick in round four. I think that he's going to have some rotational work early on for Jacksonville. This is not the turnaround that I think Jaguar fans were hoping to see in year one of Trevor Lawrence, but I think that it's a start, I guess, but they're going to have to do a lot better in the subsequent years, even with probably the best quarterback talent that I've seen since Andrew Luck coming out in the draft.
Yeah, I don't think his talent's a question. You're right. I mean, you're definitely right. Like, but Andre Sisco, I thought, yeah, great pick. Probably my favorite safety. I mean, overall, ball hook as a defender. His movement, I think, was better than the safety's ahead of him. So I thought that was a great pick. And to me, their biggest question, James, and I think we're going to find out quite early how they're going to do for the rest of the season. Is the pressure off the edges with Josh Allen and Clavon Chase on? I mean, two high draft picks. They got to get the quarterback. And I mean, they've shown flashes. Can they do it consistently? That's what they got to be able to do. I think Kevin Bryan's a good player and Malcolm Brown's good up front. They got some boys like Tefele, who you did pronounce. That was good pronunciation. I think they're going to be in a decent rotation there. And I think everybody's going to have him playing. It's like, you know, Miles Jack, very high-rated linebacker. He's so suited for this modern game. If they can get pressure outside, it'll make him play a lot better. I love Sidney Jones. Don't know why Philadelphia let him go last year. He's gone to Jacksonville. He's played really well. CJ Henderson, like you said, got to play well this year. It's big on him. Big season for him. And, you know, Just the guys they got back there as well. It's like last year was so bad. They were so bad last year that anybody coming in now is gonna be okay. It's gonna have a chance. Like Tyson Campbell coming in as a rookie from Georgia, he's gonna have a chance. You know, Shaq Griffin's there from Seattle. He's gonna play. He's got a chance now to really show that front office the difference in a class defender. And you've got C.J. Henderson there from last year. Sidney Jones. So there's four starters there that you can't really go wrong with. Adding veterans like Adam Gotsis up front, you know, you've got the makings of a defense that can compete in that division. And the ball is going to end up in Trevor Lawrence's hands, and he's going to get disappointed. He's going to find a difference in speed, and that's just how it's going to be. He's going to have struggles, but you know, when you're bringing guys like Dylan Moses in as like rookie free agents, Shaq Quarterman is there. Two similar middle linebackers, they're so quick on their feet. Miles Jack, you know, Leon Jacobs, Chappelle Russell from Temple. They got some, you know, Joe Schobert who was just a tackling machine, is there, and he got those guys around him. You know, they're starting the most defenses in the league. I really like the talent on Jacksonville's defense. It's a matter of execution, and it starts with Chase on and Allen off the edges. They've got to get that quarterback. If they can do that, then the rest of them can just have fun. And if they start having fun, then look out, because the talent's there. I mean, talent is really there. And you know, AJ Carr, Linda, that offensive line's great. Cam Robinson's back. You know, Juwan Taylor, they can all play. They, you know, and it's like, let's protect Trevor Lawrence. Let's see what he got. Get a ball to Laviska Shenault. You know, Travis Etienne on third down, get a ball in his hands. Let Robinson have his carries. The nucleus is there. You know, and they've done it in one season, really, which is very impressive, considering the, you know, the roster they had last year. And the, you know, the good thing is from last year is they brought guys like James Robinson out of nowhere. You know, showed what he could do. And it's like they got all them from last year now on this year's roster. And can they compete? We'll see. I don't think they're gonna be able to handle hang around with Tennessee and Indianapolis in the long run. But I think we're gonna see flashes of brilliance from this team. And I hope Minshew stays in as well, because you know it seems like they got a bit of camaraderie already with the haircut thing going on between Minshew and Trevor Lawrence. So that's gonna be fun to watch. And I hope Tebow stays around as well, because I just like Tim Tebow.
I don't.
maybe in a coaching role.
Maybe he will just teach Trevor Lawrence how to just win games. I mean, maybe that's just maybe just how it is. He'll teach him to be a gamer and a baller, a playmaker and a shot caller. Tim Tebow was the exemplification of the most frustrating time in my life as a sports fan, and I will never forgive him for that. But I think we should move on to the Tennessee Titans. What can we say about the gift that keeps on giving is what the Tennessee or the not the Tennessee Titans the Houston Texans. I'm sorry, I misspoke. The Houston Texans. I'm gonna mess this up every single time I try to speak it. The Houston Texans are the gift that keeps on giving to the NFL. They had no first round pick. They had no second round pick. They traded DeAndre Hopkins for what was it? David Johnson and some like fourth round pick. I bet you they are loving that trade right now, but it's okay. They got Nico Collins. what are their needs?
Coming into this
offseason, the answer was yes. Like that was literally what it was. Like they need everything. They still decided to sign Philip Lindsay to a 1-year contract, even though they traded for David Johnson at an incredibly high price. Don't get me wrong, Philip Lindsay is okay, and the contract actually was not that bad either. $3.25 million for 1 year for Philip Lindsay was perfectly fine, in my opinion. Desmond King went over there from the Titans, and they were able to sign away Lane Taylor from the Green Bay Packers to a 1-year deal. A lot of 1-year deals are going out just because they want a second bite of the apple for next year. But they lost J.J. Watt in the offseason. They lost Will Fuller in the offseason. They lost their punter, Brian Anger, to the Dallas Cowboys this offseason. So, like, and this is on the heels of losing a lot of other stuff. And once again, no first-round pick, no second-round pick. Davis Mills was there, third-round pick. Davis Mills is pretty much a poor man's Andy Dalton, is basically how I see Davis Mills. He might be okay. Like, he might be a barely starting caliber quarterback. But at this point, I'd rather have Jacoby Brissett than Davis Mills. I would rather have who else is a backup currently? I would rather have I'd rather have Gardner Minshew than Davis Mills. I would rather have let's just put it this way. Davis Mills is probably there's probably like a half dozen backups in the league currently that I would rather have than Davis Mills. And if Deshaun Watson holds out or gets put on the commissioner's exempt list, Davis Mills will probably be your starter week one, which is bad.
Yeah,
which is very, very bad.
They got Tyrod in there.
I forgot they signed Tyrod Taylor recently, so he would be the starter and would remain the starter the whole season because he is inherently better than Davis Mills.
I don't even
until he retires.
I'm just thinking of what you're saying. I didn't even want to think about like Deshaun Watson not coming back. Can you imagine that as well on top of everything else? Like, and how the heck, right? No first-round pick, no second-round pick. I'm going to get rid of DeAndre Hopkins, not have a first-round pick in return for him. You know, looking at what they're asking for Julio. It's insane. It is, and it must have been so difficult as a Texans fan last year. Didn't a friend of ours, Steve, didn't he change his teams?
Yeah, he went to a no team method, kind of like what I did too. Right now I'm also teamless. We both looked at the sorry states of our football franchises and just said, "Oh, screw it, no." But I feel for Steve. I feel for our friend Steve because this is not going to get better anytime soon. This is going to be the longest. This is going to be a decade's worth of bad. That's what the Houston Texans are going to be. Their front office is bad. It's terrible. They obviously don't know what they're doing.
This is what they've done. They brought in Nick Caserio from New England, right? Which has been done multiple times. Not exactly Nick Caserio, but somebody from New England, like Bob Quinn in Detroit last year, for instance, right? And like a few others as well, they tried to copy one New England doing. Jack Easterby's there. I don't even think he knows anything about football, right? Just saying, it's just like you can't do what you're doing and be in the NFL. It's like you hire a guy like David Culley. In fairness, right? You got a Lovie Smith there. You got a Tim Kelly, Pep Hamilton. Robert Prince, there's some good coaches, right? There's some good coaches. Bobby King there. There's some good coaches on our team. Frank Ross, right? And it's like, okay, so you've got some good coaches, and then you bring in David Kelly, who's more of a, I just think they've got him there because they know there's going to be a huge storm. They just know there's going to be a massive storm, and they want somebody to just anchor down and hold the ship, keep the ship afloat. Because I just think it's going to be that difficult. They're not cut out. I mean, the roster, look at the roster, right? This talent, it's the NFL. Every roster's got talent. But I'm just saying, it just doesn't seem to me like they are there to win. I mean, it's like you make the moves they made in the offseason. You lose a J.J. Watt. You look at what J.J. Watt had done for that city for a start. It's like they just completely, now he's gone. It's, the fan, people are going to leave him left, right, and center. Okay, you're bringing a Mark Ingram, right? A great player. You keep all the Larry McTunsil. That's a great move. Right? So he's probably your best player now, I think, and Larry McTunsil might be their best player. And then they've got all the underrated guys who's been solid for them for years, like Brandon Dunn, who's been also awesome defensive lineman, just hasn't had his credit. Whitney Merciless is another great player they've had, just been flying under the radar because of J.J. Watt and Clowney and all those. And they got talent there, right? So they're going to be okay. Desmond King's going to help. So they're not going to get blown out in every game, right? But I just, if they don't have Deshaun Watson, if some of these charges against him become true, and he's going to have to miss the season or going to have to miss time, I mean, it's going to be, I mean, he doesn't want to be there. He's already said he wants to be traded out there. How difficult is it going to be to play with him for a start? If that's his attitude and... How is it going to be him coming back into the locker room? It's going to be, I think it's going to be a nightmare, especially with the talent level in that division. I think even the Jacksonville are going to put their own on badly. And it's like, it's not pretty. You got like Christian Kirksey, he might break a tackle record this year. Christian Kirksey is a linebacker. He might break the all-time tackles in a season record this year because he's going to see a lot of bodies. He's going to see a lot of the ball coming at him. And yeah, it's going to be difficult, really difficult season for them.
Yeah. I mean, I want to play a little game. We're both sports guys. Can you name three wide receivers currently? And I'm going to say that Nico Collins, because we already mentioned him on the show, he doesn't count. Can you name three wide receivers currently on the Houston Texans roster?
I know Randall Cobb was there last year. He ended up there. And yeah, Kiki Kuti. Because one has gone to Miami, right? And then Brandon Cooks from LA Rams, weren't they? So those are three, I think.
Yeah, very good. Yep, that's because they lost.
Not,
the
like,
not even that I was sure.
So it was like, yeah.
Yeah, so
there's nobody. Yeah, I mean, superstar there. There's no superstar there, though, is there?
That's kind of a problem, I think. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't have any. So Brandon Cooks, back foot of his career, 6 years in. Is he the same guy? Kiki QT could be is a decent number two. I'll give them that. He's a decent number two, and then Randall Cobb, who's 30. I mean, that's 10 years in the league, 30 years old. Probably playing the slot.
That's the thing. He's not going to slot there. Yeah.
So it's interesting. So they've got nothing at any. There's nothing to write home about in any position. The offensive guards are okay. You know what? I'll give them that too. Marcus Cannon came over from New England. He's pretty good. I think he's better than advertised. And then they signed the guy from Green Bay this offseason. So they're okay. But I don't think there's anything else on this roster where I would be like, hey, they've got this position wrapped up.
Cool. Maybe offensive line.
Unless Deshaun Watson comes back and then they have quarterback wrapped up.
Yeah. Even like how good would it be though, right? I mean, it just playing flip side to everything.
If they were to push Deshaun Watson, they should let him play. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. They should let him play.
Do you know like how much I love Tyrod Taylor? He's had so much bad luck. He's probably the only backup quarterback who's actually a starting quarterback. But just doesn't start the league. He deserves a break. Everybody loves him, right? Can you imagine if he turned this team into a winning team? Like, just went 6-0 or 7-0 or something. Just like behind Tyrod Taylor. How cool would that be? But just like
it would be
winning every game
all over again for me, because it'd be just this inexplicable, like, there's no reason this should work, and it makes no sense why it's working.
Isn't that the NFL, though? Doesn't it happen every season, though, doesn't it? I mean, something like that happens every season that we just like, nah, this can't be happening. But it's the NFL. I'm like, how cool would that be? How cool would that be? Just to win every game 10-7 or 6-3 or like...
They would need a defense for that to work, though. And they lost like all of their best players.
That would be it. Would be insane. I'm not, you know, but
it would be nice. But I wouldn't put any money on it. Not even a red cent. But I think that is a good place to end our discussion for the day. Is there anything else you want to bring up, ask, talk about before we close up the kitchen for the day?
No, that's great, man. Just really interesting to see what they're actually doing for stories at this point of the off season, just to keep the NFL in the headlines and things like that. I mean, it's all Tebow at the moment, and it's good to see these rookies getting into camps. You know, are they gonna handle it? It's worth keeping an eye on this Texans team just to see how they go about the business. It's gonna be difficult. I mean, they got the offensive linemen, like, and it's noticing a couple more that they brought in as well, like Marcus Cannon and a Sherpa and guys like that. They got the talent there, but it's like just interesting to see how they're gonna crack on there. Yeah, rest up, bro. You've had a long day today. Just want to say to everybody in America, like Memorial Day, if we can go to war together, you know, we got to pay respect. So respect to everybody and who's lost loved ones and no, that's been on my mind today. Just thinking a lot of that and yeah, just you know, loving the show the way it is and looking forward to next time, bro.
All right, so we're trying something a little different this time around. We're gonna do a Monday show and a Friday show. See if we split it up, if that increases the quality of the show. So let us know. Till then, till next time. We'll see you guys later. Peace.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June.